Greetings, everyone. It's time for the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show.
Yes, the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show, featuring the Reduced Shakespeare Company. My name is Reed Martin. I'm here with Austin Titchener and Adam Long.
I'm Adam Long. I'm here with Reed Martin and Austin Titchener.
I'm Austin Titchener. I'm here with Adam Long and Reed Martin.
That was Austin Titchener. I'm Reed Martin.
I'm Adam Long.
I'm Austin Titchener, and until the cows come home,
we are the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 405, Reduced Radio Show. In 1992, we wrote and recorded the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show, a six-part series for the BBC World Service. We've played clips from it in various podcasts over the years, but we've also had requests from podcast listeners KG in Oklahoma and Michal Yadlin to share our memories of what it was like to write and record the radio show. So Reed and I sat down on one of our last days in Edinburgh last month to talk about how it all came together. It was epically and optimistically entitled The Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show, Volume 1.
Turned out to be accurate.
Yeah. Volume 1 and only, yes, sadly. Yes.
I don't think that's for lack of interest in it. I think just the way the BBC does business changes from time to time.
Yeah.
So
yeah, we were approached by Laughingstock Productions, right?
Yes. Peter Brown, I think, was the director, president, whatever, chairman of Laughingstock Productions. And at that time, and I understand it's still the case now, the BBC, I think it was changing the way it did business. This was around 93, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That they used to produce their own things, and then they decided, well, they'll hire other companies to produce things, and then they'll buy it from them. And I guess the BBC then owns it. So anyway, so Peter Brown and Colin Colino and Mike O'Brien came to see the Shakespeare show in London and loved it. And so they pitched, let's do a radio series with the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Yeah.
And what I remember is the timing of it. We wanted to record it while we were over here on a tour.
Yeah.
And time was tight whenever they wanted to put it out and when we were here. So I just remember it's 6 half-hours, which is a lot of material.
Well, and I remember this was happening. They pitched it around, and the BBC World Service picked it up.
Yeah.
And it was while we were still in London, because I remember trying to break it down. I'm not sure whether we actually did any writing on it, but I remember talking about how we should do our material in 6 half-hours, how we right. should organize those half-hours. And we ultimately decided on using a bit of the structure of the well, we just used the structure how Shakespeare's plays are broken down. Comedies, tragedies, histories. Then we did Romeo and Juliet as its own thing, Hamlet as its own half hour, and then we had a sixth one, and we talked about, well, what, maybe it should be, oh, I know, William Shakespeare's little-known trip to America.
That's right, where he saw an early production of West Side Story and said, wait a minute, if I took out the music and moved it to Verona, this could be a really good play.
Yeah. It was great, and I know people wanted us to do excerpts from the complete works of William Shakespeare Bridge, which was what we were performing at the Arts Theater during 92, during this time we were doing it, but so much of that show is physical. It really wasn't going to translate.
No, I seem to recall that 90% of that is material not in the Shakespeare show. There's 10% that is. There's Rapothello, and I think there's the histories as the football game.
We wanted there to be more, because that would have been less for us to write, but we really came up with about, okay, there's, like 20 minutes of stuff from the show, and then the rest of the other 2 hours and 40 minutes were up.
I think it was literally, what is it? It's six half-hours, 18, yeah, I think it was 18 minutes or less from the Shakespeare show.
Yeah.
And I just remember driving around touring Britain, writing in a van on my very first laptop, buying an extra battery, buying battery chargers, because the batteries in those days were not that efficient. And the other thing I remember is that I get car sick if I'm reading. So I think I had to take car sickness tablets because the schedule was so tight. And so I think we broke it down. We sort of, each of us focused on two episodes. I think mine were Romeo and Juliet and Shakespeare's Long Lost Trip. Does that ring any bells with you?
That rings some bells. I think I was working on Hamlet, but I might have been working on the comedies too, because I remember writing a bunch of the comedy sketches, like the Who's on First, the Who's on First is 70 Rock Bands sketch.
Well, my favorite comedy is the one with the shipwreck.
That's Twelfth Night.
No. Twelfth Night is the one with the twins.
No, Reed, Comedy of Errors has the twins.
No, well, it has two sets of twins, actually.
Well, Comedy of Errors has two sets of twins, but in Twelfth Night, there's one set of twins, a shipwreck, and a woman disguised as a man.
Wait. I thought As You Like It had a woman disguised as a
does.
Man. But he said that Twelfth Night was the one with a woman disguised as a man.
Oh, well, it does, too. But Twelfth Night is set in Illyria and has twins and a shipwreck. And As You Like It has a duke's evil usurping brother and is set in a forest.
Yeah, but Measure for Measure is about an evil usurping brother. Merchant of Venice has a woman disguised as a man. And Midsummer Night's Dream is set in a forest.
Oh, yeah, but Midsummer Night's Dream is the one that's got magic spells in it, right?
The Tempest is the one with magic spells, and that's the one I was talking about.
What one?
The one with the shipwreck.
See, this is what I've always said, man. The problem with Shakespeare's comedies is that they're just like 70s rock bands, man. They're all the same.
70s rock bands?
Exactly.
I hate 70s rock bands.
So, Austin, who's your favorite band from the 70s?
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
Really?
Sure. Well, they had the best keyboard player of all time.
No, they didn't. They never even had a keyboard player.
What?
They never had a keyboard player.
Who never had a keyboard player?
Yes.
Who?
Yes, not even after they lost what's-his-name, the drummer.
The what?
No, the who, the drummer. What was his name?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Moon.
What?
Moon.
All right, fine.
What are you doing?
You said Moon.
No, Moon the drummer.
Well, Reed's not a drummer. He's an accordion player.
Hey, leave me out of this.
Pull up your pants, man.
Fine, all right.
All right, forget about that. Guess who's my favorite band from the 70s?
I have no idea.
No, guess who's my favorite band from the 70s?
I told you, I have no idea.
Listen to me, Austin. Guess who's my favorite band from the
70s? I don't know. I can't
I'm
guess.
I'm telling you. Guess who's my favorite
and
band
I'm
from the 70s?
I'm telling you, I don't know the band.
Oh, they're good, too.
Who?
The band.
The Who?
No, not The Who. The band.
What band?
The band.
All right. I'll guess. The band was America.
No, Canadian, except for the drummer.
Don't start with me again about the drummers.
The band
you?
Was Canadian. They backed up Dylan.
A Canadian band backed up a Welsh poet?
No, I thought you were an expert on music.
Well, I am. I mean, I don't know every single obscure band that played for literary figures. No, but I am an expert.
Oh, you mean X being an unknown quantity and spurt being a drip under pressure.
Well, exactly. Wait a second. Well, forget about that. What about you? Have you ever been to a rock concert?
Of course I have.
Where? Who'd you see?
Boston.
Where?
Chicago.
What?
Chicago.
Well, you just said Boston.
No, that's right, Boston.
Well, what about Chicago?
Well, I love Chicago, but then I was only 17. Now listen closely, Austin. It's very simple. The Who's my favorite band, the band backed Dylan, and Chicago wrote 25 or 6 to 4.
Well, which one was it?
What?
25 or 6 to 4?
That's what Chicago wrote.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
That's what I'm telling you.
25 or 6 to 4?
That's right.
I don't even know what I'm talking about.
But I also like some of the new bands. You too?
Yeah, of course. I like some of the new bands.
You too?
I just said I did.
You too.
What is the matter with you?
The band's name is U2.
Well, now you tell me. And they're Canadian, right?
No, they're Irish, and their lead singer is Bono.
Well, why didn't you say so? Of course, I know who Bono is.
Good, finally.
I don't like him.
Why not?
Well, I think he should have stayed married to Cher.
Oh, well, Cher's okay, but I like Katie Lang better.
Katie Lang?
Precisely.
Well, now you're talking about women disguised as men.
Isn't that Twelfth Night?
I don't know.
Third base.
The design of the show was sort of free form, a little free flowing, and so that we were under a lot of writing pressure, you could just write something 10 seconds. And if it was funny, we'd find a place for it. And so that was kind of, the freeformness was a good thing, given the deadline we had. And I think that shows up in the material. There's a sort of weird, you know, like the sound of a radio dial changing, and now we're in the middle of something else.
No, and there's something really great about, and freeing about doing comedy for the ear, only for the ear. You know, it's you can go wherever. I realize that there's another theme in my work, aside from Who's on First parodies.
Star Trek?
Yeah, well, Star Trek, yes. Did we do a Star... I don't know. Is there a Star Trek version in the radio show?
I'd be surprised if there was at all.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I would be surprised as well. But also, scenes where I have body... where I lose body parts.
That's right.
Yeah, that happened in the radio show, and it happened again. It happens again in the sports show.
Yeah. No, it was fun to put together. And then I think... Did we record it over about 3 days? Do you remember how long it took to record it?
It only felt like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And it was just us kind of all standing around one microphone, wasn't it?
I think it might have been one microphone. I seem to recall it was one microphone. We did a lot of fun stuff about walking away and turning our back and trying to give the, you know, the distance and space,
yeah,
and where we are and sound effect jokes.
Yeah.
And I recall the studio was in Battersea, wasn't it? Near the Battersea Power Station?
Yeah, it was. It was. Well, and that was the thing, too. You find out that some jokes are funny if you say the punchline right up close to the microphone. But sometimes it's funny when you're far away, when you're far away from the microphone. You know, so it's so that playing with that sort of form was really cool. The other thing that was cool is that we were completely unsupervised. Nobody from the BBC or really even Laughingstock said, oh, boys, you can't do that.
Yeah, no, whatever we wrote, they said, you want to do that? Do that.
Well, and John Etchells was the engineer, and he records so much live stuff, and I think he really enjoyed doing it because he didn't get to do a lot of comedy. So this was fun for him. And he knew, this is how we met Nick Graham, who went on to write the music for the Millennium Show.
He wrote the theme song.
Yeah, he wrote the theme song, and he wrote the incidental music. That was the word I was looking for. Incidental music, and he wrote the music underneath the version of Rap Othello.
Othello is in the house, and it's payback time. Yo, 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 yo. Here's a story of a brother by the name of Othello. You know, he liked white women, and he liked green jello.
And a punk named Iago, who made himself a menace because he didn't like Othello, the Moor of Venice.
Now, Othello got married to a chick named Desdemona.
He took her for the wars, and he left her alone.
It was a Mona.
A Grona. He left her alone.
He didn't write a letter, and he didn't telephone. Now Desdemona, she was faithful, she was chastity tight, she was the daughter of a duke.
She was totally white, but Iago was a freak from the planet Venus. He was crafty,
he was sly, he had a big sword.
He said, I'm gonna shaft the Moor.
How you gonna do it? Tell us.
Well, I know his tragic flaws, that he's
too damn jealous.
Need a dupe, I need a dope, I need a kind of a schmo.
So we found a chump sucker by the name of...
I knew of the Goon Show at the time we wrote this, but I was not aware of the BBC radio series called Round the Horn.
Yeah.
And people heard the Reduced Shakespeare radio show and said, oh, this reminds me a bit of Round the Horn. And so that turned me on to Round the Horn, which is just hilarious. If you're American and you're not aware of this,
yeah,
you know, go online and listen to some clips from Round the Horn. It's just absurd and hilarious.
Hills, that is.
Hi, dear friends. This is Phil Proctor of the Fire Sign Theater.
Hi, this is Peter Bergman of the Fire Sign Theater.
And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? In the next 4 months of 2014, you can see us perform 8 shows in 3 countries. This week, we begin our unprecedented Reston extravaganza, the complete works of the Reduced Shakespeare Company abridged to 7 different shows in 10 days, plus workshops and special guests, panel discussions, live podcasts, and 12 current and former members of the RSC in performances and special events. Plus, we will have 2 weeks of performances of the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged in the UK in September, performances of the Complete History of Comedy abridged across the U.S., and the Complete Works of William Shakespeare abridged at the Wu Chen Festival in China in October, a month of performances of the Complete History of Comedy abridged at the Marin Theatre Company in November and December, and performances of The Ultimate Christmas Show abridged across the U.S. in December. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information.
Here in the studio to help us in this pursuit is renowned Oscar-winning classical actress Emma Thompson. Thank you for joining us, Emma.
My pleasure.
Emma, you've performed in most or all of Shakespeare's tragedies during your illustrious career. Which is your favorite?
Well, Austin, I would have to say that would be Titus Andronicus.
Oh, one of Shakespeare's most obscure works.
Yeah, and one of his most melodramatic and violent and bloody.
Is that what attracts you to the play?
Absolutely. Well, that and the cannibalism.
But do you think Titus Andronicus is a play that has resonance for people today?
Oh, absolutely.
How's Kenneth?
Fine.
Is it true that he hasn't spoken to you since you won the Oscar and he didn't?
I have no comment on that.
Is it true that he hopes someday to develop lips?
That is true.
Thank you for your candor, Emma. There you have it, Titus Andronicus, Emma Thompson's favorite Shakespearean tragedy. Emma, I've always found you to be a stunningly attractive woman, but I have to say you look much different in person than you do on the screen.
Yes, that's true.
Would you mind describing yourself to the people listening?
Of course. I'm wearing a tasteful black gown and rubber gloves. I'm about 6'2", blue eyes, and completely bald.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been taken in once again. It wasn't really Emma Thompson here with us in the studio. It was our very own Reed Martin, professional impressionist.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Another accurate and well-studied impression, Reed.
Well, thank you, Austin.
Do you remember whose idea it was for you to be Reed Martin, professional impressionist? That sounds like an Adam idea, doesn't it?
It probably sounds like an Adam idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much. The other fun thing is that the BBC, not just the World Service, continue to play this from time to time. And we hear from people, oh, I heard the I heard the radio series on BBC 23 last night.
Oh, exactly. Well, and the other great thing that happened as a result of the radio show for us is that we wrote this at the same time we were performing the Complete Works of William Shakespeare Abridged in London and at the Arts Theatre, and also at the same time we were writing the Complete History of America Abridged. And we wanted, one of the reasons we wrote the America show was that we wanted to do a subject that might get us more well known in America. And as it happened, the radio show was broadcast on the World Service, and it was heard by either Robert Siegel from National Public Radio, one of the, again, for you UK listeners, Robert Siegel is one of the premier news broadcasters from National Public Radio and has been for over 30 years. And either he or his son heard it on the World Service, and then they told the other, you've got to listen to this. One of his, and so when he brought us onto the radio, he said that one of his favorite bits was our series of audio footnotes.
It's audio footnote time!
Although Pericles, Cymbeline, The Winter's Tale, and The Tempest are sometimes classified as romances, we have accounted these plays among the comedies due to their uneven poetic value, unbelievable plot lines, shallow characterizations, and juvenile themes. They are among the Bard's greatest works.
That was audio footnote time!
And so as a result, he brought us onto National Public Radio, and that really raised our profile in America.
Oh, very much so, very much so. It's freeing writing for audio, because in a stage show, you can do something, and we discuss this in the comedy show, something amusing makes you smile.
Yeah.
Something funny makes you laugh. That's our definition anyway.
Right, right.
So on radio, you can do things that are amusing, and it doesn't feel like a stinker. On stage, if you're doing a joke, and now something amusing, it doesn't play as well on stage, whereas on radio, it can be quirky or interesting or amusing, and that's absolutely fine, and it's great.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is right. Well, and particularly in a show where you like, a show like ours, where we have actual punchlines. Punchlines need to get laughs.
Yeah.
You can't just sit there.
Yeah.
But on a radio show, you also don't have to wait for the reaction. You can just keep going, and people will laugh and rewind. I remember when it first came out on cassette. Cassette. We're not old enough for having to come out on 8-track cartridge, but it came out on cassette.
I remember listening on the Victrola with the dog staring at the horn. When I teach my voiceover class, at some point in the semester, maybe it's late in the day and you got nothing to do, I say, well, here's a little something I put together, and the students are always tickled by it, and I'm tickled that it still holds up. You know, the students listen to a bit of the Reduced Shakespeare radio show.
Oh, cool.
And they go, oh, that's cool, can I get the rest of that? So that's nice.
Oh, that's nice. So that's good. You're plugging it. Yeah. Yeah, it would be really fun to do more of that, but I think in order to do that, we'd have to be here based in the UK. We'd have to really kind of hustle it up. I mean, we've continued to make appearances on the World Service and other various BBC channels across the UK, but it would be so much fun to do a radio show again. It's kind of the podcast was born of our desire to do another radio show.
Yeah, I mean, the tricky thing about you don't have to script the podcast.
Yeah.
I remember when the idea for the podcast came up, and I was thinking of the radio show and how much work that is just to come up with. We were coming up with 6 half-hours. You have to come up with a half hour a week. I think at this point, I'd love to do another radio series, but I think we'd have to sit down and write it and produce it ourselves.
Yeah.
And, you know, put it on iTunes or maybe find somebody to broadcast it. But
ooh, maybe that's a Kickstarter. Maybe we do that as a Kickstarter thing.
Send me your money.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with the radio show. I just want the money.
Yeah, no, I think we'll need a bigger plan, better plan than that. Those are our memories of the Reduced Shakespeare radio show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well, that bell means we're approaching the end of the program, and for my money, not a moment too soon. But before we close this episode, maybe we should mention what we've all learned today.
I learned that drinking and fire eating don't mix.
I learned that William Shakespeare stole everything he wrote from Stephen King.
And I learned not to feel Helena Bonham Carter's thigh unless I'm sure she's not Reed.
Well, it's really been quite an episode, hasn't it?
You can say that again.
Wow, it's really been quite an episode, hasn't it?
You have been listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Radio Show, written and performed by Adam Long, Reed Martin, and Austin Titchener. Additional material by Jess Winfield and Daniel Singer. Original music was composed and performed by Nick Graham. The program was produced by John Etchells and Colin Tolino.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. You can get individual tracks or the entire radio show via download from iTunes, or you can order a special CD bundle of all 6 episodes on 3 CDs while supplies last from the shop menu at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Then send us your request for podcast topics via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews of this podcast on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and at Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, semi-professional impressionist Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and GarageBand. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Reed Norman. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Phil Proctor and the late Peter Bergman, who along with Philip Austin and David Osman blew our minds as the Fireside Theater with their smart and silly surreal comedy. They were an inspiration and have since become friends. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 405 1215th of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. And you know, we used to memorize Monty Python and Fireside Theater routines when we were kids, but I never dreamt that one day people would memorize one of my routines. But Mikhail Yadlin and her sister Shiri have, and they sent me their recording of our Who's on 12th Night sketch about 70s rock bands. Enjoy.
So, Austin, who's your favorite band from the 70s?
Yes.
Who?
Yes.
Really?
Sure. Well, they had the best keyboard player of all time.
No, they didn't. They never even had a keyboard player.
What?
They never had a keyboard player.
Who never had a keyboard player?
Yes.
Who?
Yes. Not even after they lost, what's his name? The drummer.
The what?
No, the who, the what, the drummer, what's his name?
I have no idea what you're talking about. What?
Moon.
All right. Fine.
What are you doing?
You said Moon.
No, Moon the drummer.
Reed's not a drummer. He's an accordion player.
Pull up your pants, man.
All right, all right.
But I also like some of the new bands. You too?
Yeah, of course I like some of the new bands.
You too?
I just said I did.
You too?
What is the matter with you?
The band's name is You Too.
Well, now you tell me. They're Canadian, right?
No, they're Irish, and their lead singer is Bono.
Oh, why didn't you say so? I know who Bono is.
Ugh, finally.
I don't like him.
Why not?
Well, I think he should have stayed married to Cher.
Well, Cher's okay, but I like Katie Lang better.
Katie Lang?
Precisely.
Well, now you're talking about women disguised as men.
Isn't that 12th night?
I don't know.
Third base. I'm Michal.
And I'm Shiri, and we are 2/4 of the Yadlin family daughters.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.